And I present to you Brother Joe Gilmore from San Jose, California.
Now tonight, I have been asked to speak on Timothy. I love Timothy, and I thank God for young Timothy. And I believe as we get along in the lesson tonight that you likewise will thank our Heavenly Father for young Timothy, the great, loyal, and faithful helper and friend of the Apostle Paul. To this young man, the Apostle Paul gave numerous responsibilities. Young Timothy carried them out to the very best of his ability. And as we study our New Testaments, it is obvious that there was nothing wrong found in the life of Timothy. There's another man that was like Timothy. I preached his funeral last week, Brother Forrest Smith. In Chattanooga, Tennessee, Brother Smith was to follow me. I had just spoken. And Foy was a now preacher 56 years ago when we met as young preachers. And I was a therefore preacher. You may wonder what that means. Well, when Foy would come hear me preach, he'd say, "Joe, you concluded 30 times. Now, what do you mean, Foy? You said therefore 30 times in your sermon." Foy would preach, and I'd say, "Foy, you arrived 30 times. He was a now preacher. Now we'll hear James. Now we'll hear Paul." So we had that good friendship going over 56 years. I had just finished speaking. Brother Buster Dobbs was introducing Foy Smith. Foy looked at me as I sat down and gave me that Indian salute, which he's not an Indian, but he saluted me anyway. Like Indian, that was a plumb good sermon, but I'm going to beat it. That's the way we have done for 56 years. He smiled, Brother Buster Dobbs said, "Now, the great Foy Smith." Foy grinned, dropped his Bible. I thought that he had dropped his Bible. He was reaching for it, but Foy had a massive heart attack and died at my feet on the platform. In the congregation, I believe the East Ridge Congregation building in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I preached Foy's funeral. As I got to thinking on the life of Foy Smith, I looked at him as the boy that I had met 56 years ago, a Timothy. If ever there were a Timothy, Foy Smith was a Timothy. And then I got to thinking about his life, how solid, how firm, how spiritual, how great, without flaws in character, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. As I got to thinking of Foy Smith, I likened him to the Timothy, the young man that I'd known 56 years ago. And if there is a flaw of his character, if there is something that he's done amiss, something that is wrong, in 56 years, I never found it. Maybe there's something out there. He's human. Likely he made a mistake, but I'm not aware of it. And I think that he is like Timothy. And so tonight, if you'll pardon me, I would like to dedicate this sermon to the memory of Foy Smith as a memorial service to Foy Smith. And I believe there are enough preachers in the audience tonight who would not object to this idea. And thus I come to study Timothy, a man who was steadfast, unmovable, loyal, bounding in the work of the Lord, life of clean living, and a man who was doctrinally sound. I like Timothy. And as I study the life of Timothy, as I read it in the New Testament, there are many great lessons that we can learn from Timothy. I would like, first of all, to consider the home in which he was born. In this home in Lystra, many, many years ago, he was born in Lystra. And the Bible tells us that he was a son of a certain woman, a Jewish, whose father was a Greek. Here we learn something of Timothy. His father was a Greek. This meant that he was part Gentile. His father belonged to that race of people that sought knowledge. His mother belonged to that race of people that followed the Old Testament law and covenant. And she no doubt taught young Timothy in the things of that law in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. That from a child thou hast learned the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. But in order for a Timothy to exist, there had to be a Eunice and a Lois. Grandmother Lois was the root. Mother Eunice was the stalk. And young Timothy was the fruitage. Thus, in this home, there had to be a Eunice and a Lois in order for there to be a Timothy. I like the way the Apostle Paul described the faith of Grandmother Lois and the Mother Eunice and the young Timothy that had been produced by these two great women. When the Apostle Paul came to talk about the faith of these three, he used and described it under one word, found in 2 Timothy 1 and 5. That word is unfeigned. What does it mean? It means without hypocrisy. It meant genuine. It meant sincere. The word sincere is a very good word. Back in the old days of Italy, they made pottery. And there was a lot of fraud in pottery. They would take clay and take the potholes in the pottery, and they would daub clay in it and bake it and make it look as though that it was all pure pottery. Good things. And then they started with the idea of sincere. Sincere. What a good word. That meant without cracks. That meant without daubing with clay. That meant pure pottery. The best. Sincere. And that was the kind of a man that Timothy was. Kind of a woman that his grandmother was. And the kind of a mother that he had. Their faith was unfeigned. Simply, without hypocrisy. Sincere. Genuine. Real. Isn't it good to meet real people? I always enjoy meeting a real Christian, someone that loves the Lord, follows the Lord, will not accept error, that wants correct doctrine, goes about living clean and pure, wanting to do good unto all men. Don't you like to meet a man like that or a woman like that? Someone whose faith is unfeigned, sincere, without hypocrisy. Timothy was Paul's son in the gospel. No doubt Paul had effected, through his preaching, the salvation of many people. He had invited many to come to the Lord. Now this is what gospel preachers endeavor to do. I think I've heard some of the best of preachers. I've heard some of the greatest preachers of our day and of the past. I never heard a gospel preacher say, "Come to me." It means come to the preacher. They've always said, as I say today, come to Christ. And when we say come in the gospel invitation, we're not meaning to come to the preacher. You don't have to come at all. We could meet you back there, over here. We're just trying to make it easy and accessible for you to come. We're asking you to come to Christ. Thus it is with the Apostle Paul when he referred to Timothy. He no doubt had said come to many people. But now then, there was a good grandmother, there was a good mother, and Paul had made a Christian out of this man through this man's obedience to the gospel. No wonder then Paul could call Timothy and refer to him as my beloved son in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4:17. Looking at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, again Paul calls Timothy my son in the faith. Looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2 to 3, if you want to check in your Bibles, again we find that Paul referred to young Timothy, my beloved son. Timothy was a co-worker. He was a companion of the Apostle Paul. Paul found Timothy in Lystra. He and Silas had gone down to Lystra. And we learn in chapter 16 of the book of Acts, beginning at verse 1, there was a certain disciple there named Timotheus. His mother, the son of a woman, which was a Jewish and believed, and his father was a Greek. Here this young man was well reported of. In the book of Acts, chapter 16 and verse 2, he was well reported of the brethren in Lystra and Iconium. That meant he stood for something. That meant he was a wonderful disciple of the Lord. Paul had done a good job in training this young man. And now he was well reported of the brethren. But the Apostle Paul was making his way up through Asia. And to get to Asia, he had to pass a lot of Jewish colonies along the way. In order to have access to these Jewish colonies, and in order to teach them the unsearchable riches of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he decided to take Timothy with him, along with Silas, it became necessary to have Timothy circumcised. Not to save him. It did nothing for his faith. It had nothing to do to add him to the church and to the saved. But in order to have access to Jewish communities, the Apostle Paul had Timothy circumcised because there were many Jews in those quarters. All of these Jews knew that Timothy's father was a Greek. And for Paul to travel with an uncircumcised man to all these Jewish colonies en route to Asia, then the Jews would not listen to the preaching in their synagogues of Paul. But we read, as they went from city to city, they delivered unto them for the decrees to keep. And then we are told that the number of disciples increased and the churches were established in the faith. How? Timothy was faithful with Paul and delivered the decrees to keep. Then if you'll study the book of Acts written by Dr. Luke, read the epistles of the Apostle Paul, you will find many references to Timothy. You will find Timothy loyal and faithful to the Apostle Paul, his great teacher, father in the gospel. He was faithful to Paul as long as Paul lived. We find him at Lystra. We find him at Derbe. We find him in Berea, Thessalonica, Corinth. We find him in Iconium, Macedonia, Rome. And finally, the last journey to Jerusalem. With Paul to the end, just as faithful to Paul as he could possibly be. But when Paul found young Timothy, there are a lot of things about Timothy the Bible doesn't tell us. We don't know how old he was. We do not know when his father died. We do not know a thing. We do not have the facts of his early life. But we know one thing. The Apostle Paul found him and chose Timothy, and Timothy did not find and choose Paul. Paul came to Lystra about AD 50 or 51.
First and Second Timothy, these epistles were written about A.D. 64. Wasn't it wonderful that Timothy was invited to follow a man like the Apostle Paul? What a tragedy there would have been if young Timothy had turned down this invitation to go with Paul to Berea, to Antioch, to Iconium, and finally into Jerusalem. Wouldn't he have missed a great opportunity? I'd like to travel with Paul myself. Wouldn't that have been a wonderful theme? It would. But I have traveled with some very great people. I lived in the day when some of the greatest gospel preachers preached. Joe Blue, C.R. Nickel, Foy Wallace, Foy Wallace Sr., G.K. Wallace, Curtis Porter. I could go on and name after name of great men of the past. Now I want you to hear something. The very first verse of the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, there was a certain disciple there. There was a certain disciple named Timotheus. Wasn't it good that Timothy was there? We have to leave our mark in this world. We have to stand for something. And this indicates that young Timothy stood for something. And you know, I'm getting sick and tired of hearing young preachers belittle the preachers of the past. I want to tell you about those preachers of the past. I know what they preached. I lived there. I was there when those great men were going out. I was there. Let me tell you what they preached. They preached the inspiration of the Scriptures, the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures. The Bible is inspired in sense and in sentence. They would quote Matthew 10 and 20, "It is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father that speaketh in you." That's the way they preached. They preached the finality, the totality, the authority of the Scriptures. They preached the conditions of pardon, the details of worship, and the importance of the church. May I ask you, which one of these can you leave out? Can you leave out verbal inspiration? Can you leave out the authority of the Scriptures, totality, finality? Can you leave out the conditions of pardon? Can you leave out the details of worship and the importance of the church? How dare young men belittle the preachers of the past? That's the way they preach. And I'm glad that they were there in their day and their time. These men made it easy for preachers to preach today. Brother Toddy helped erect this building. Brethren, today, where would you be had it not been for a Brother Toddy? Where would we be in this country had a Sterl Watson not existed? Where would we be with premillennialism if Foy Wallace had not been there? Foy Wallace literally, single-handed, saved the church from premillennialism. A lot of brethren today can't even pronounce it, let alone know what it is. Thank the Lord. Foy Wallace defined it. He said pre means before. Millennium means 1,000 years. And ism means it ain't so. He defined it. He fought it. He put it out of business. And I want to tell you something. If the brethren in the last 20 years had listened to Brother Foy Wallace, we wouldn't have a Rubel Shelley. We wouldn't have brethren that cater to that kind of preaching today that you're under grace and not under law. You wouldn't be hearing about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John being the hub of the Bible. Why Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the New Testament church, had not been established. Matthew, Luke, and John, the Holy Spirit, had not been poured out upon the apostles. They had not been guided into all truth. Brother Foy Wallace, 20 years ago, warned against the new NIV version and others. And he said they'll produce a different church. And they have. They have produced a different church. What we're seeing today is different from the good old church you read about in the New Testament. These versions are written by men who believe Calvinism. In these versions, the 5 points of Calvinism are set forth. And we're hearing so much today that we're not under any law. There's nothing for man to do, no human activity. You're saved by grace. And you know, the strange thing is that these young preachers are thinking they're preaching what denominations think about grace, and they're not. Grace means favor. The denominational idea of grace is force. The denominations believe that man's born human, depraved, born a sinner, defiled, corrupt, and it takes a direct operation of the Holy Spirit to break through and convert him. That's force. The Bible says, Ephesians 2:8, saved by grace. Saved by grace. Grace is favor. How were those Ephesians saved? By grace. Wish Brother Shelley were here tonight. I'd like to tell him. How those Ephesians were saved by grace. How were they saved by grace? In the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, there were 12 brethren, 12 people from Ephesus. They only knew the baptism of John. Now, these are Ephesians. They're from Ephesus, these 12 men that only knew the baptism of John. Listen, after Paul preached to them, verse 5, "Now when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." How were those Ephesians saved by grace? "Now when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." We're saved by grace, not by force. The denominational idea of grace is force. The Bible teaching of grace is favor. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad that Brother C.R. Nickel was there? But a man by the name of A.S. Bradley rose up in that day teaching what Jehovah Witness and Seventh-day Adventists teach today. Man is wholly mortal. And when he dies, all man dies. That he has no soul, that he is a soul, doesn't possess a soul. And aren't we thankful that C.R. Nickel was there, met Bradley, and showed Luke 21 in verse 19, "In your patience possess ye your souls." Man possesses a soul. A.S. Bradley, members of the church don't know it. They read from A.S. Bradley, debate with C.R. Nickel, and really do not understand that he was a gospel preacher. He was a member of the Church of Christ. That was the era of C.R. Nickel's day. Another preacher in the Church of the Lord. Not from the denominations, but a man rose up among us and disturbed the church, teaching that man's wholly mortal. Wholly mortal. Brother Nickel met him for all time to come. Bradley would never meet again. And young preachers today that go out to meet materialism, isn't it wonderful that C.R. Nickel was there? We could go on and on naming men that we're thankful for and glad that they were there. But we have to look at some other things. We'll have to notice the growth of young Timothy in the gospel of Christ. He grew from day to day. And no wonder he grew. If you had a man like the Apostle Paul that prayed for you, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3, Paul says of young Timothy, he said that he without ceasing have remembrance of thee and my prayers night and day. Timothy grew. He grew so much that when the Apostle Paul came to write and refer to the Philippians,
He showed the value of young Timothy and how Timothy had grown spiritually.
In Philippians 2 and verse 20, he said, I have no man like-minded. Nobody else can take care of this. Young Timothy had grown from a little boy, being taught by his grandmother and his mother. And now under the tutelage of the Apostle Paul, he had grown so much that Paul said, I have no man like-minded. Again with Timothy. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Read also the first chapter. What do you find in these chapters? Paul referred to Timothy as our brother. Our brother. Isn't it wonderful that Timothy is our brother? You know what that means? That means that if Timothy is our brother, we have the same father. Truly we do. We resemble the father, and so we resemble each other. You take someone that walks in the way of the Lord, obeys the commandments of the Lord, he looks like all the rest of us. I don't really look at the figures of people. I look at their hearts. I look at their lives. I look at what they do. And when you do the will of the Lord, isn't it amazing? We all look alike. We resemble each other. We have the same type of thinking. We have the same actions. We speak alike. And that means something else. That if we have the same Father, we're in the same family. That family is the church. Paul said, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Furthermore, it means that we have the same name. The same name. What is that name? Ephesians 3, verses 14 and 15. For this cause bow my knees to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We have one name, the name of a Christian. 1 Peter 4:16. If any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed. There's one name. The head of the church is Christ. Ephesians 5, he is spoken of as the bridegroom. The church is the bride. As the husband is the head of the wife, and so is Christ the head of the church. When I get back to California, there are people today tell me there's nothing in a name. One name is good as another religiously. Garland, I get back to California, if my wife is wearing the name Brown, there's going to be spontaneous combustion. I don't know what spontaneous combustion is. But brother, whatever it is, it's going to take place if my wife isn't wearing the name Gilmore. I am the head of the house. To wear another name would be dishonoring to me. God called their name Adam. I guess Mrs. Adam and Mr. Adam. God called their name Adam. Eve wore the name of Adam. Adam was the head. Well, that means we have the same table. We have the Lord's table. Jesus said in Luke 22, 29 and 30, I appointed you a king, as my Father appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And that means we have a common foe. Our common foe is sin. It's threefold. It is made up of the world and the flesh and the devil. And we have a big fight on our hands. But then think of all the exhortations that Paul gave to young Timothy. You'll find more challenges, more exhortations in 1 and 2 Timothy than you'll find in all the other epistles of the Apostle Paul. Paul told young Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Timothy, don't you be a coward. Stand. Timothy stood. Paul told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. In other words, don't let anybody lightly esteem you because you're a young preacher. God loves young preachers. Paul had his eye out for young preachers. He had a sharp eye.
He encouraged young preachers. I go all over the country today with a sharp eye, encouraging young preachers. Paul said, "Be thou an example of the believers." I'm hearing so much today that we've neglected our young people. I don't believe that. That's wrong. They say we need to give more attention to our young people. They're the church of tomorrow. That isn't true. If they're members of the church, they're the church today. We're hearing people say young people, older people, should be examples to the young people. Create a special group in the church. Not true. Paul told young Timothy to be an example to the believers. Young people today need to be an example or examples to the believers. A few weeks ago, my bell rang to the house. Went to the front door. There was the prettiest blonde girl, well-dressed, that I think I've ever seen. She's pretty. Behind her was some old man with a briefcase, and he didn't look as pretty as she did. And she rang my bell, and she said, "Sir, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. The man behind you is a great scholar, and I'm going to step aside and let him talk to you." Well, she had my attention, but it didn't take me about 3 minutes to disperse of him. He didn't last very long. But I got to thinking, Brother Boyd, wouldn't that have been great if some pretty blonde had gone in front of me, rang the bell, somebody come to the door, and they'd say, here's an Indian that knows the Bible, and said, "I don't know the Bible as well as he does, and I'm going to step aside and let this Indian talk to you." Now, wouldn't that have been wonderful if that young lady had been a member of the New Testament church and the man standing behind her with a briefcase had been a faithful, loyal gospel preacher? Then, of course, Timothy, Paul told him to preach the Word, and I've already got the Word that my time's up. But I want to talk to you about preaching the Word. I'd like to talk to you all night. But I want to get 2 Timothy 4, too. Paul told young Timothy to preach the Word. Do you know what word he had in mind? What word? He said to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the things that thou hast heard of me," that's the word. Why preach the word? Wish I had time to tell you, but let me list these right quickly. We have to preach the word today for these reasons. Number one, it's a light to our pathway. Psalms 119, verse 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." If you want information on where did you come from, why are you here, and where are you going when you die, there's only one book tells you. This book gives the life, the light. You need to preach the word. Why? Because it is a medium through which the Holy Spirit operates in the conviction and the conversion of the sinner. John 16:8, Jesus said, "When the Holy Spirit has come, He will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment." Notice how Felix was reproved by the Spirit. Paul reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, and old Felix trembled. Acts 24 and verse 25. We need to preach the word because it's the seed of the kingdom. Luke 8, verse 11. I've been over to old Luxor, the Valley of the Kings, where old King Tutankhamun, where they went into his tomb. Scientists found some wheat seed. They brought it to the state of Kansas and planted it. Guess what kind of harvest they got? Do you think they got cotton? Do you think they got oats? No. They planted, sure enough, they got wheat. Wheat seed produces wheat. There's only one seed produces a Christian. That's the Bible. It's the seed of the kingdom. Why preach the word? One day we're going to be judged by this word. Jesus said in John 12 and 48,
He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words is one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. John 12:48. Don't you love Timothy? He's near and dear to our hearts. Timothy, a loyal, faithful worker, companion, helper of the Apostle Paul. Timothy made the right choice. He chose the right way. And I trust tonight that you'll choose the right way. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Then Jesus wants you to stand for something. He wants you to stand for what He stood for. He wants you to know there'll be some hardships ahead. We're thankful for the book of Acts. It not only tells us about conversions in the first century, but it tells us how people lived. And it tells us how Timothy lived. And no wrong thing was found in his life. Don't you want to be like Timothy? I believe Timothy will be in heaven. What do you believe? I believe he'll be there. Nothing wrong found with him. Won't you be like that? Come and obey the gospel.